awkward. All right, on that note, I just forget, thank you, I guess. Yeah, my birthday's tomorrow, okay, so it's tomorrow. We won't be here, that's true, you won't be here. I will, but you won't be. Anyway, gosh, just feel really, I don't even know where to go from here. It's good to see you this morning. Loved. I feel all the love. All right, here we go. We're going to start. All right, so today we're talking about, we've been in this series called Foundations, Who We Are. And we started talking about the story of redemption, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. And then from there, we went into another part of our series where we're just talking about the church. We want to talk about the fundamentals of the church. Who are these people that we belong to? What is this thing that we go to on Sundays? And so we have spent really since the middle of September, when my child was born, talking about that. And so, and what we started with is, what is the church? And we changed that to, who is the church, is the real question. We said that the church is all of those who belong to God, who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it is all of those for all of time that have done that. And so then we moved on, and we talked about the purpose of the church, which we're kind of following that up today, the marks of the church. What is corporate worship? Then we talked about last week, if you have any questions, we talked about trying to become more united as a church by having not a 9 o'clock traditional service and a 10:45 traditional service, but going, we are going to have a service, that a worship style that represents all of us. We talked about that last week, and so if you have any questions about that, there's a sermon online from it, or feel free to come talk to me. And so this week, we are starting with vision and mission, and then we will have a week where we take off, and we're gonna take a break in the middle of that and talk about Advent. I love Advent, so should you. And the reason why I say that is because, man, Advent's an awesome time, and in fact, this year we're gonna work through Advent together, and there'll be more details coming out about that next week. And so I'm pumped about that. So we'll do vision, mission, then we'll have Christmas, and then we're going to start the book of John in January. So excited to see what God will do in us and through us. And so today I have the pleasure of talking about our vision here at First Baptist Church, which is just basically transformed lives. The vision of First Baptist Church is transformed lives. Why is that the vision? Well, because the gospel transforms us. When the gospel transforms us, we are ambassadors for Christ. We present and declare the gospel to a watching world. They become believers. Then we multiply gospel communities, because it's in gospel communities where we gather together to make disciples and encourage one another in the faith. And then when we have more gospel communities than we know what to do with, we form new churches. And so really, what is our vision? It's to see churches because of people's lives transformed all across Southwest Colorado. Would that not be unbelievable to see the population of believers in Durango, in our county, in Southwest Colorado go from 7% to 10% to 15%? How would that change where we live? And so to that, I have a couple. Honestly, this is a tour de force of my favorite quotes and passages of Scripture, and I realized that this morning. And so we're going to start with one quote from C.S. Lewis. And this is what he says: "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased." And so the purpose of the church, to go back, because if our vision doesn't go along with what God's vision is for the church, then we have lost it. And so the purpose of the church is to serve as an outpost of Jesus' kingdom that makes the invisible kingdom visible by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of his name. That's the purpose God has set forth for his church throughout history, and we get to be a part of that. And so what is the role we play? It means we want to see people's lives transformed by the gospel. But here's the thing. We don't want to just see people's lives, but we want to see our lives transformed by the gospel, because it starts where? It starts here. It starts with you and it starts with me. And we're going to begin then with our first passage of Scripture, which is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And so if you'll open your Bibles there, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And again, I'm going to walk through this, and we're going to walk through a bunch of passages of Scripture today as we just talk about what it means to be transformed. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." By the way, if it's saying you, it's a you all, not just you individually, but all of us. This is what we were. You were dead. What do dead people do? Nothing. Okay? Well, apparently, and they walk in their trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And so that is the front end of the gospel. That is the bad news. You have to have the bad news before you can have good news. And the bad news is, this is who we are apart from Christ. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And the reality and the recognition of that is the beginning of transformation because of what happens next. And it says, verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And then down in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so the first reality of transformed lives is we need to be transformed by the gospel. A transformed life is one that has met Jesus and been changed by him, brought from darkness to light. Have you experienced that? Do you believe, even when we sit here now and we say, "I've experienced that," are you remembering every day the reality is that this is who you were, but God? But God, you have been transformed. And when we're saying transformed, we're not just saying changed. Okay, there's a difference between changed and transformed. Like, I can go and change a shirt, but does that change who I am? Does that make me someone completely different? No, it just means I have a different shirt on. But the gospel says, I am made new. I'm made completely different by the blood of the Lamb. And so the question is, are you completely different? Have you been transformed? And Galatians 2:20 brings it out so well, and it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And so it's no longer about me and my desires and my passions and the things that I want in life and the things that I think are pleasurable, but it's about all that God is, all that he has done, and all that he wants to do. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ lives in you if you believe and have been transformed by the gospel. Wow. Right? Is that good? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so God has a greater purpose for you and for our church because of his transformation in Christ than you will ever know. How many of you struggle day to day and go, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know why I do this job. I don't know what's going on." God has more for you in that moment than you will ever know. We will get there in a few minutes. But you have been transformed and been made new in Christ. And so with that, though, how many of you still experience this? You're a sinner. You still mess up. You still don't trust God. You still do things that you're like, "Why did I just do that? I should be farther along." All right, here's the thing. That's not a biblical concept. You shouldn't grow up more. You should grow down. What does he say? You need to be like a little child. And so what does it mean to actually be transformed is that you grow more and more dependent upon the grace of God in your life. And so what does it mean to be continuously transformed? Romans 12:2 says it great. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable. And so your mind has to be renewed. So you have been, if you believe in the gospel, you have been fundamentally changed and transformed. And before God on high, the great judge, you stand right because of Christ. You are good. Like, do you believe that that has been done for you, right? And I think it's something we struggle with every day because our lives reveal we believe something different. When we test, when we question, when we walk our own way, when we have bigger desires for what our life is than what God does. And when this happens, though, it just reveals to us every day is that though I am saved, I'm still being changed by the grace of God. And I must be transformed over and over and over again as I lay myself before the God of the universe and go, God, I am yours. Thank you for forgiving me, and may I know you more. And Martin Luther, in his life, I don't know why I just said that, but in his life, he said that we are simultaneously saint and sinner. You are right before God, but you are still broken, and you are still waiting to be completed in the day of Christ. But how are we then continuously transformed by his grace? Because we all know that we are not everything that we should be. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. Honestly, when people go, hey, what's your key verse? What's your life verse? Verse 18, I think, is mine. And he says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. And your mind is transformed when you behold the grace and glory of God. And so you become a believer and you're transformed, and then you're transformed every day as you behold his likeness, as he transforms your mind. And so how does that happen for us? And this is the point where I go, this is why everyone tells you to read your Bible. And that's true. Here's the thing, though. Too often what we do is we go into our scripture reading and our time with God to get something from God rather than to experience communion with him. God goes, meet me and be shaped by me. See what my character is through the Old Testament stories. See what my character is as you see me walk with my people, as you see me forgive my people, as I'm patient with my people, as I love my people, because guess what? That's what I am for you. See how I love and I serve, and how I sent my son to heal people, to make people new, to take away their infirmities and heal them and make them brand new. See this, because you get to be a part of that and you are experiencing that right now. And what happens when we do that? We go, God is better than all that other stuff. Right? As you behold the glory of God, you become something new. He will change you and he will transform you, and he will be faithful to do that because he has promised he will. He who that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Christ, and it comes by beholding him. And here's the thing. We've talked about it the last couple weeks. You don't always do a good job of beholding yourself, of coming before the Lord and believing all the things Scripture says. And so guess what? God in his infinite wisdom and in grace, he's put other things in your life to remind you too, right? What are those things? We've talked about it. Us. There's this passage in Acts where Paul is talking to some of the disciples, and it says literally that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to Paul. Guess what? Those people sitting around you that are in your gospel community, your small group, your Sunday school, when you're not feeling it and they're with you, God is fundamentally with you because his people are with you, because his spirit is in all of us that believe in him. So you are not alone with your, when you are with his people. God has not left you alone. He's given you those people to encourage you in your faith, to remind you that God is good, that he is faithful, that he has not left you, nor will he ever do that, not because of you, but because of what Christ has done for you. And not only that, but then we come here, and you listen to me yell at you, and hopefully what we do in that moment is to go, this is the bad news, and this is the great news of God's love for you. And so when you can't do that for yourself, somebody else can. And not only that, but all the songs we sing that God is good, that he is gracious. And so when you can't think of that, that's what these songs are doing. And not only that, but then when we do our baptism. So how many of you have ever been stuck in this place where you're like, I don't know if I'm saved. I keep going back to the same thing. Blah, 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 blah. All of us. But when we do a baptism, we go, you have died with Christ and been raised with him and been made new and transformed. Remember that. Not just them, but for yourself, because it's true. And then when we take communion every month, we go, hey, the body of Christ was broken for you in his blood, so you don't have to do anything to make up for it because he has done everything you need for you in him. That is the beauty of the gospel. Transformation is fundamentally remembering all that Jesus has done for you every day and becoming more aware of that and more in love with him. Doesn't that just sound weird? That's literally all it is. We make it way too hard because I think we just forget. And so will you behold the glory of God? And so when we do that, though, something happens in us. Again, as you look through even just the sermons in Acts, you have Paul or Peter. How are they declaring the gospel? They are talking about all that God has done in them. And so for you, when you are most in love with Jesus, or when you are, and we can take this to anything, when there is something outside of this room that you love so much, like your greatest ski trip, your favorite ski trip, your last trip to the river to fish, the last piece of art you made, we could go on and on, your last mountain bike ride, or the new bike that you're going to get, or so on and so forth, what do? You talk about those things. And so as we behold Christ, our gaze goes from the things of this earth to the infinite things of Christ, and we go, God is better and everybody needs to hear about it. Everybody needs to hear about it. And so how have you been transformed by the gospel? Because that will directly influence your daily life. As much as you believe the gospel and God's love for you, that he has given you identity, that he gives you value and worth, and the things of this world will just kind of pass away, and though you feel it the most right now, ultimately that is the thing upon which you lie, is what he has made you. That will change how you live. That will change what you do, and your reliance will be upon him and not upon yourself. And so then we become what 2 Corinthians 5:14 through chapter 6 says. And it says, when we are transformed by the gospel, initially and then continually, it says, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so because we are made new and we believe all that the gospel says that we are and all that Christ has said he has done, then we become ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ. We get to declare the gospel that we believe. Ambassadors are simply people who represent and talk about your country in a positive way. Isn't that crazy? That's what we get to do. We get to play this game that's already been won by declaring God's grace to us. That's it. And guess what happens when that happens? People hear the good news and they believe the hope that we have for eternity. It's like I'm visiting with a lady the other day. She turned 90 last May. Her name's Alice. She's an awesome lady. I wish you guys could get to know her, but she's confined to her home. But the thing she said was when I'm meeting with her, and I mean, she is struggling with a multitude of health issues, but as she has to just sit in her chair day after day, this is what she said: I don't know how someone that doesn't believe in Christ has any hope for the next day. And so we get to, because we have been transformed, declare the hope that is within us because of what we have experienced in the gospel. And so transformation is the work of God by his Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. Transformation begins with coming to faith by the grace of God and continues for the rest of our lives. Transformation leads to freedom from sin and guilt and shame. It leads us to serve others because God has ultimately loved us in Christ and serve us in unlimited ways. It leads to transformed people. It leads to transformed marriages and families. It restores relationships and brings freedoms from addictions to sex, drugs, alcohol, pride, legalism, and meh-ness. And what I mean by that is pure apathy. God has called us to something more because he has done the ultimate thing in Christ. Ultimately, the transformation of people leads to the multiplication of believers. It leads to the multiplication of gospel communities, which I'm just calling outposts of the gospel in each part of our county, where we make disciples and encourage one another in the faith because we need this gospel and we need to be transformed every day. We need to be reminded of God's love for us, and then we need to declare that to a world that is unbelievably broken, and we all experience it every day, every second of every day. You can't walk out the door here without experiencing the brokenness of the world or turn on your phone or even in your interactions with one another. But in that moment is where the gospel doesn't just fill the gap, but it overwhelms the gap with its glory. And so then, because of that, we join these gospel communities. We get to join them together and make these little outposts everywhere of the gospel of God so that it can be a light on a hill and salt to a dead and dying world so they might experience things that they've never experienced before because of all that Christ has done in forgiving them and making them new for the glory of his name. And so when we say our vision is transformed lives, here's the thing. The kingdom of God will not get big unless Jesus is big in you first. And so we can say, you know, like, we want to go plant 100 churches all around the world, or 24, but here's the thing. Ultimately, if you know Christ and treasure Christ above all things, that will take care of itself. No matter what goal we put before you or anything, the greatest hope we have for you is that you would know Jesus and that this would be, this quote really would be our banner, right? This is a quote from John Owen. My son's name is Owen and my other child's name is Jonathan. You can put the two together. And he says, "Oh, to behold the glory of Christ. Herein would I live, herein would I die, hereon would I dwell in my thoughts and affections, until all the things here below become as dead and deformed things and no longer in any way calling out for my affectionate braces." And so we come to our questions. Like, again, we can talk about transformed lives. And so here's the questions to leave you with as we finish up today. Have you been transformed by God's grace? The first question to answer. And if you have, man, just dwell and thank the Lord for all that he has done. Number two, in the last couple of weeks, months, slash years, how has God transformed you by his grace? And then if our vision is transform lives, that means you have a role. And so what is your role? What is your role in that, in your life and in the life of the church? Because guess what, guys? God has put us here in this place together to make known the glory of his name. What is your role, and how will you be playing a part in this cosmic reality of God having won because of all that he has done through Christ? And you get to participate. What is your role in that? Let's pray, and we'll continue to worship. God, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace to us in Christ. May we just be transformed by your love more and more every day, every week. May we just view you as more beautiful and more wonderful than everything else, the painted beauties of this world. And God, may that change and transform how we live day to day. Because you own every minute of every day, it is yours, and they're all moments of ministry. And so may it reflect our love for you. And when we fail, God, may we turn back to you, confess our sin and our unbelief, and then come to know and remember that you are better, and then walk in those ways. May we declare that to one another, God, and may it transform our own lives, our gospel communities, our relationships, our families, our marriages, our city, our state, and our world. Pray these things in your wonderful and beautiful name, Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together. We close with God Undefeatable.